Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on this Monday afternoon. The war is raging. Fully World War III with European nations getting involved. No sign of slowdown anywhere. The 82nd Airborne being prepared for deployment. And Iran seemingly ready to accept the invasion. It's getting crazy. It's been crazy this whole time. It's really only getting crazier and only getting worse for Israel and America. Will we be able to pull the ripcord and stop the spiral before it becomes irrevocable, before the damage becomes too great for the world to sustain? Or will we drive ever towards the abyss for no particular reason, because there's absolutely no possibility that this gets any better for us into the future? I'll explain it all, what's happened over the weekend, where we're going from here, how the mixed messaging from both the Trump administration and Israel is really exposing the actual facts underneath the deception, which is that this has been a complete disaster. I think the response from Iran has been completely unexpected, which is not possible, I don't think. We'll get into it. But I knew what the Iranians' response would be. I knew how powerful their missile batteries would be. You're telling me the heads of the Pentagon didn't? I don't believe that. So unexpected might not be the right word, but we'll get into all of it. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Monday, the 9th of March, 2026. Trump furious at Israel over massive attacks on Iranian oil infrastructure. President Donald Trump is reportedly furious at Israel for unilateral attacks on Iran's oil infrastructure. A planned summit between the U.S. and Israel is said to have been scrapped as the first major disagreement breaks out between the two nations. Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner were due to meet Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Jerusalem on Tuesday. The Daily Mail reports 30 Iranian fuel depots were obliterated over the weekend with apocalyptic images showing fire leaping into the sky, huge columns of smoke, and black oily rain falling from the sky. We've seen a lot of dystopian and apocalyptic imagery over the last couple years when it comes to Ukraine or the war in Gaza. But the videos out of Iran with the entire sky turning black, raining oil from the clouds, streets literally on fire as the sewers fill up with oil and it gets ignited, apocalyptic, doesn't even begin to describe it. We'll show you images and tell you about the fallout later, both literal and figurative. Meanwhile, Trump declares that the Iran war can only end if Netanyahu is okay with it ending. So now we're doubling down on not only did Iran get us in this war, we're stuck in it until they say otherwise. At this point, it's so outrageous, I'm actually entertaining that this is all a ruse. Because it's hard for me. It's hard for my brain to accept that the president of the United States is literally out here saying, we are going to keep fighting this losing war. We are going to keep driving the world economy towards absolute collapse unless this foreign president says it's okay. At this point, seeing the bombing that happened in Tel Aviv, is Donald Trump kind of screwing Benjamin Netanyahu over? I think the people of Israel really want the war to end really fast. I think they really are not happy with the way things are going. And it almost seems to me like Trump is going, I'd love to end it, but your president Netanyahu, it's up to him. So I guess it keeps going. I don't know if that's the case. It's just I'm trying to make sense of something that doesn't make any sense, that is bonkers might be a word to describe it. I don't get it. We'll explain it all. But yeah, Trump is saying, yeah, sorry, we got to make the decision together. It's a mutual decision, leaving this war. Conscientious objector group says their phone is ringing off the hook as a huge mobilization is underway. An 80-year-old nonprofit that advises conscientious objectors, you know, people who are supposed to go fight the war, but saying this is not what I signed up for, I'm not doing it, are saying their phones are ringing off the hook, the highest demand they've ever had for people furious that their oath to America is being betrayed and they're being sent to fight a pointless war for Israel. It's no wonder why. Seventh U.S. service member dies in Operation Epic Fury. And I have the sneaking suspicion that this number is massively undercounted. I'll explain why on the other side. Stay with us, folks.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operation, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I said last week we were in uncharted waters, uncharted territory. Well, we are far, far beyond the bounds of where the charts have reached. We are fully out of the dimension we're used to at this point. Lindsey Graham, of all people, is calling on Israel to calm down. Do you realize what that means? Do you realize the situation that we are in? It is something to behold. Now, taking just a bird's eye view and looking at this holistically, comprehensively, because I've been in it. I've been glued to every development, every minute for the last week and a half now. My nerves are frayed, but you got to do it. You got to try to see everything if you want to figure out anything. If you want to get any semblance of a grip on what's actually going on, there's a lot of trash to sift through. But I think at the end of the day, my thoughts about what's happening at this moment is that Donald Trump made not just a mistake, but perhaps the biggest mistake in the history of mankind. I genuinely believe that he thought it would be easy. He thought it would be 48 hours, 72 hours at the most, and then he'd be coming out and giving another victory speech like he did after Venezuela. That obviously didn't happen. Now, the latest it's being reported is that the Pentagon and the war planners were surprised at the strength of Iran's resistance and the ability they have to continue shooting rockets day after day. I don't believe that. I just don't believe that because we knew it. Somehow we knew what Iran is capable of. We knew how they had planned multi-layers down how to carry on a resistance for a long time. How did we know and they didn't? I don't think that's possible that they didn't know. There is speculation that the decision was basically confirmed, not necessarily made by, but informed by AI, and that the AI model they were using was actually deliberately biased by feeding in the Venezuela operation. Like, they showed the Venezuela operation and said to the AI, we did this in Venezuela, couldn't we do this in Iran? And the AI, being programmed to, in general, be biased in favor of the question being asked, said, yeah, you can do it. Now it'll go just the same. It'll be a repeat, one-to-one. Go ahead, pull the trigger. And then they did. I don't know if that's true or not, but it might go some way to explain why they can't even justify why they thought this wouldn't go the way that it has gone. They're not out here going, well, you know, we thought that they had these many missiles, but we didn't know that they had these missiles. And it's like they don't even know. And it's almost like all the reasoning is happening behind the screen, behind the curtain of AI. We don't know if that's true, but it's interesting. And certainly Israel is ramping things up continuously in ways that we don't expect, aren't anticipating, and don't want them to do. I'll explain all of that. But let me just give you a timeline of what's happened since last Friday. It's Monday today. I've been gone all weekend. Let me catch you up. So on the 6th, on Friday, U.S. and Israeli airstrikes intensified on Iranian targets, including heavy bombing campaigns, joint strikes targeting multiple sites with Iran, with reports of significant escalation in attacks on military infrastructure. Iranian retaliatory missiles and drone strikes continued against U.S. allies in the Gulf and Israel. President Trump signaled a prolonged campaign, stating the U.S. could sustain operations for weeks or longer. The next day, joint U.S.-Israeli airstrikes again hit several large Iranian oil depots, fuel storage facilities, and refineries near Tehran. Massive fires erupted with thick black smoke and reports of oily rain fallout. Israel targeted regime infrastructure in central Iran. Iran expanded its target list to include U.S. economic assets. Retaliatory strikes hit the Gulf sites, including the Bahrain desalination plant being damaged, Kuwait Social Security being struck. Two people killed in Kuwait during that. Trump blamed Iran for civilian incidents, that is, things like the Manab school strike, and reiterated demands for unconditional surrender, warning of harder hits ahead. Iran rejected capitulation. There's really only one way for us to hit harder, and that would be nuclear weapons. There are B-52 nuclear-armed bombing planes that have now been moved to airfields in the UK, which would be their staging area if they were to launch a bombing raid against Iran. And again, this is the question. Are the Israeli and American leadership so committed to their apocalyptic death cult, or so embarrassed by being shown up by these people they've, you know, criticized and demonized for so long? Will they go so far as to use a nuclear weapon? And if not, what is the other option? Boots on the ground? Because that might even be worse. So they're a little bit screwed here. B-52s arrived at UK base as air campaign over Iran grinds on. Ongoing bombardment of Tehran on the 8th. And guys, let's go to some of the videos that I just put in the B-roll of the black skies, because if you haven't seen this, it is insane. And as I'm reading, just go to some of the B-roll of that came out over this weekend, because it is awe-inspiring in the worst possible way. This, I believe, is the Haifa oil plant. But yeah, there were retaliatory strikes. So on March 8th, ongoing bombardment of Tehran and other Iranian cities by U.S.-Israeli forces with strikes on military decision-making sites. Iran launched ballistic missile barrages at Israel with a lower rate than initial days, but persistent, including cluster munitions near Tel Aviv, causing injuries. Hezbollah continued rocket and drone attacks on northern and central Israel. Israel responded with strikes in Lebanon. Majtaba Khamenei, the son of the slain supreme leader Ali Khamenei, named Iran's new supreme leader by the Assembly of Experts. We'll get to who that guy is in just a second. Yes, and Hezbollah, as we told you last week with Lebanon John, is not only completely, you know, disabled. They are actually winning significant battles against Israel as we speak, and Israel seems powerless to stop them. So just remember, keep it tuned in, InfoWars. We're the only ones that told you this. We continue to be the only ones that have an accurate view of what's actually going on there, and we have for years. I feel like I need to make a bigger deal out of that. Even though I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or brag or anything, I feel like people need to know who was right the whole time, and it was us. On March 9th, this is today, Iran fired its first missiles towards Israel since Majtaba Khamenei's appointment, triggering sirens in Tel Aviv and central Israel. Hezbollah rockets reached central Israel for the first time in the current escalation. The IDF struck the launcher shortly after and targeted Hezbollah's Nasser unit head in southern Lebanon. Explosions reported in Beirut's southern suburbs amid renewed Israel-Hezbollah clashes, including Israeli forces landing in eastern Lebanon. Israel announced strikes on regime infrastructure in central Iran and Hezbollah command centers and weapons in Beirut. Hezbollah pledged allegiance to the new supreme leader Majtaba Khamenei. Thousands gathered in Tehran to pledge support. Iran claimed injuries to Majtaba Khamenei from earlier war strikes. So they have chosen a new leader. He is the son of the slain leader, probably with a mission of vengeance in his heart. So well done, Trump. You've replaced one elderly, graying leader who was actually a comparative moderate with his radicalized son, who has not only seen his father killed by the current American regime, but his mother and his sisters and his daughter and like everybody in his family. I'll give you the full list in just a second. So this was, in my opinion, a dumb thing to do and strategically dumb. It was all this was very dumb, and I wish we hadn't done it, but nobody listens to me. So here we are, World War III. This is what's happening. There's also just absolutely massive, clip number 12 here, huge crowd in Tehran to commemorate the choosing of the new supreme leader and to show solidarity in the face of the foreign states. And just look at that crowd. So Again, we're told that the Iranian people are begging for freedom. The scenes on the ground in Iran say exactly the opposite story. And I just am, in a way, a little bit jealous. I wish we had a political figure that could get out crowds like that. We did. We used to. His name was Trump. We don't know where he went. He's gone now. Donald Trump is not happy with Iran's choice for its new supreme leader. Mojtaba Khamenei, the 56-year-old son of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, the former leader who was killed in the first Israeli strikes of the war. Oil prices over the weekend have jumped by 20% in a single day. Fears grow of protracted conflict in the Middle East. Iran has mocked the U.S. over that consequence of the war, branding its campaign Operation Epic Mistake. After criticism of the U.K.'s response to the war, RAF Typhoon jets have shot down and intercepted drones heading towards Jordan and Bahrain, the defense ministry said for U.K., and France is getting involved as well. In a further test for NATO, Turkey said alliance defenses shot down another ballistic missile in its airspace. It was the second intercepted missile from Iran in a week, although, again, Iran says they have not attacked Turkey at all. They also reject blame for attacks in Saudi Arabia and other places. And Saudi Arabia seems to be taking their word for it. I'll show you a video in just a second of a Saudi minister thanking the, I believe it was the Pakistani minister, saying, you know, without your warning that Israel was about to attack us, we would have thought this was Iran. But because they actually warned them before it happened, they were able to, you know, find out who really committed the attack. So, again, the word is, the rumor is that basically 24 hours after the attack started, Trump asked for a ceasefire and Iran rejected him. Then there was rumor that it happened a few days later, following some majorly successful hits by Iran on America, American forces there in the region. Now they're refusing again. Iran is refusing overtures from Israel until from the U.S. until Israel, quote, retreats and completely collapses. This is from a senior Iranian political official saying Trump is seeking through intermediaries to connect us and Washington to the end to end the war. But at the same time, he claims the opposite. Trump states in interviews with American media that there is no specific timeline for ending the war, which contradicts the message he's sending to us. The American contradiction reflects a state of chaos and deep crisis that Trump is going through, where he has found himself in a major predicament without possessing a clear path out of this quagmire. Tehran has firmly informed the intermediaries that it is not receiving any messages from the American side and will not respond to it. Iran has a firm and resolute stance with strategic objectives, which is not to respond to any initiative until the Zionist entity retreats and completely collapses after all the crimes it has committed in the region and the chaos it has caused in the world. So it doesn't sound like they're wanting to negotiate. And if you put themselves in your, if you put yourself in their position, you can understand why. They have been through this cycle a few times at this point. And they want an absolute and permanent change. And it's interesting because this is almost word for word exactly what I said in response to Hamas's attack on Israel in October 7th, 2023. That back then, again, they were stuck in a cycle of mowing the lawn, as Israel puts it. Israel going in, bombing the hell out of Gaza, letting them rebuild for a little while until they get strong enough that they're a threat, and then mow the grass again, bomb the hell out of them again. They staged October 7th as an inflection point, saying this is intolerable. We cannot continue in this cycle. We have to break out of it. Now, it's been 2.5 years, but it seems as though the inevitable result of that spark has now come to fruition. And you have Iran, who, again, has been through this before and has at this point done a lot of damage, really embarrassed and impoverished a lot of its neighbors. It's in it now, just like we're in it. It's ride the tiger time. It is, we are on top of the tiger. The only thing to do is ride it and keep it going forward. You can't stop, you can't get off, can't slow down, you die. So that's where we're at. And Iran has been deliberately incentivized by us to take this path. We have proven time and time again that negotiations are just a ruse so that we can kill them. Why would they negotiate with us? We have showed them time and time again that we are not a trustworthy partner in negotiations, that we cannot be relied upon to honor our commitments. We have put them in a position where their only option is to destroy us militarily, pretty much. Get to a point to where they don't have to rely on our goodwill anymore. If they were to accept an agreement now, accept a ceasefire now, what would it mean? Basically nothing. Look how the ceasefire in Lebanon has turned out. Look how the ceasefire in Gaza has gone for the people of Gaza. The Israelis violated with impunity. Why would Iran want to make want to sign a ceasefire right now when we still have the ability to attack them? Because we have shown a willingness to violate agreements, because we have shown a willingness to turn a blind eye to violations of ceasefires, Iran's only option now is not to get us to a point that we're willing to negotiate. It's get us to a point where we cannot strike them if we want to. Again, that's our fault that they're in that position, but strategically, that's the only play that makes sense. They are going to keep going until they feel like we've had enough. And this was obvious from the beginning. When you push somebody into this corner, this is going to be the way that they react. The Azerbaijan president congratulates Iran's new supreme leader despite suspected drone attacks. Once again, I extend my condolences to you on the tragic passing of your father. So again, Iran is not isolated from its allies. It's not being ripped apart by internal factionalism and conflict. It, in fact, has been forced again over decades of systematic isolation by Israel and America. It is now fully self-sufficient. Now we're attempting to bomb some of the source of that self-sufficiency, but they have it pretty good. They have it pretty good with everything internal, all their production, including their medicine production. You know, it's interesting. Iran doesn't have to rely on China for its medicine. It actually is able to produce it internally. I just want you to think about that for a little while. Israeli forces destroy Hezbollah rocket launcher amid southern Lebanon military operation. We're going to get into what's going on with Hezbollah also, because that is a massively underreported story when it comes to America, the American coverage. But that's nothing new. This is something we've been making up for their lack of coverage for quite a while. I just wish somebody in any position of power would listen to us for once. Other countries are getting involved. We just heard that the UK is helping to shoot down drones and missiles with their jets. Clip number 7 here. French President Macron announces a major military buildup in the Middle East. Let's go to clip number 7 now.
La présence française.
He says we'll be deployed from the eastern Mediterranean to the Red Sea, and precisely off the coast of Hormuz, we'll mobilize 8 frigates, 2 amphibi helicopter, and our aircraft carrier. It also enables us to mobilize and attract contributions from several other European countries. And I'd like to salute those who followed our Charles de Gaulle aircraft carrier from Atlantic to the Mediterranean. Several of our European colleagues have decided to continue supporting us. This mobilization of our Navy is unprecedented. Of course, we are also mobilizing our air and ground forces in the region. Now, this is interesting because France actually has a long-term, you know, historical relationship with Lebanon. They took over the Levant. They, you know, have a ton of interest in there. And so he is not talking about joining the war against Iran to destroy, you know, the mullahs. He's talking about de-escalation, and he's actually put out statements condemning what's going on in Lebanon and asking Israel to chill out a little bit, I think, in other terms, but that was the message. The new supreme leader of Mojtaba Khamenei, supreme leader of Iran, shows the folly of Trump's Iran war, essentially pointing out that Iranians have more intense personal reasons to loathe America and resist any surrender or compromise. Few Iranians have more of a reason than Mojtaba Khamenei, who's been named the Islamic Republic's new supreme leader. The opening airstrikes of this war on February 28th killed not only Mr. Khamenei's father and predecessor, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, but also his mother, Mansoura, his wife, Zahra, and probably one of his children. Having assumed the leadership in personally tragic circumstances, it seems unlikely that Mr. Khamenei will be prepared to do America's bidding or retreat in any way. Donald Trump described Mr. Khamenei last week as unacceptable to me, adding, quote, "We want somebody that will bring harmony and peace to Iran." Instead, Iran's Assembly of Experts, a group of senior clerics charged with selecting the supreme leader, sent a message of defiance by choosing the supposedly unacceptable candidate. Now, there's an interesting twist to this as well, which is that Israel supposedly killed the Iranian leaders we were hoping to work with in the same airstrike that killed Khamenei. And this may have been a miscommunication from Israel, or Israel screwing up Trump's plan, Trump plan to kill the current leadership. And he may have been in discussions with the second, you know, class people to say, okay, you kill our leadership, then we'll come in charge and we'll settle things down. But then Israel killed those people. And so now it's only the hardline extremists that are left, which was the purpose all along, if you want my opinion. Iran's new supreme leader is wounded. He sustained a mystery injury. I don't know if it's that much of a mystery. Gee, how did he get hurt? Maybe it has to do with the saturation carpet bombing campaigns on the capital city, perhaps. But yeah, so the person that we, because of us, is now in charge of Iran, a young man at 56. He could be in there for 40 years if his health is good and if he doesn't go above ground too much, who last week lost his father, his mother, his wife, and his son in a single attack. And that's on top of the other family members he's already lost in the combat with Iran over a little while. So you just put somebody in charge who guarantees that Iran takes this to the end, to the absolute end. Which again, well, what is it? What's the best possible outcome for America? So far, our actual plan, the Israeli slash American stated goal, is to literally create a failed state in Iran, to simply destroy the ability of them to have a civilization, the basic civil infrastructure of hospitals and police departments being systematically eradicated. So what, they just have to die or flee to Europe? Insane doesn't even begin to describe it. Calling the decision to go to war with Iran, I don't think I'm being hyperbolic or exaggerating too much when I say it may have been the worst decision in the history of the world. The worst. I cannot think of a worse one. I'm racking my mind. I know a lot about history. I can't think of a worse decision than the one that was made. Because like usually something, a catastrophe of this magnitude requires a whole plethora of decisions. You need bad decision after bad decision. This seems like it was one bad decision made by Donald Trump one day on bad information or for bad reasons that, if nothing dramatic changes, and there's no sign that it will, is going to destroy the world economy in a way that I don't think we're prepared for, going to massively and probably permanently weaken America. I was talking about this on the Gray Area with Rex and Tim yesterday. I don't think it was his plan, but in a weird sort of way, Trump is fulfilling the QAnon promise. Like Tel Aviv is being smashed to smithereens. The Israelis are not doing well. If you wanted to hurt Israel, then you would do exactly what Trump has done over the last week. And if you wanted America to get out of the Middle East, I think we might have to get out of the Middle East now. I think out of necessity, it's going to be real hard for us to even be in the Middle East at the end of this. Why would Iran allow it? And what ability do we have to force Iran to allow it? We may be out of the Middle East and Israel may be, you know, severely damaged to the point that they're not able to wage their, you know, wars of aggression for the next couple decades. Like, I don't think it was on purpose, but I do think the consequences of this, as negative as they are in the short term, in the long term, I think this is Iran flipping over the board and we're going to get to play a whole new game. That's not what the Americans are saying. I'll tell you what they say on the other side.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. It's one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it, because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexShowsTour.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigly. The backup Alex Shows Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexShowsTour.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at galaxystore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support thealexystore.com, because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win, man. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in, so you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Video is still going out. There's the video we were looking for. There it was. It came back. That's what we were trying to start the segment with. The burning of another ball statue in Iran, with the Masonic symbols being burned there. A statue of Baal was also burned in front of the American embassy in Mexico City as an act of protest against the war of choice by the Epstein class here in America against Iran for, you know, literally nothing. I want to maybe do a little compare and contrast here. Let's go to clip number 9 here. This is Pete Hegseth being asked about limitations on America's involvement, including boots on the ground. Now, this has gone from being a campaign promise that even considering such a thing as boots on the ground in Iran is ridiculous and unapproachable and would never happen. And then it became, well, we are going to war with Iran, but boots on the ground we're ruling out too. You know, we're not ruling anything out. And the 82nd Airborne is canceling major exercises they were going to do. And it looks like they may very well be preparing for deployment themselves. Here's Pete Hegseth talking about this decision-making process. Let's watch.
Is it possible to achieve the objectives President Trump has set before you if we don't locate and obtain and extract the highly enriched uranium?
There's a lot of different ways we can get after that. They've used a conventional umbrella of missiles that was growing every single day, their production capacity, to try to cover over their nuclear blackmail ambitions. As far as how you get at that nuclear option, we'll make sure that their nuclear ambitions are never achieved.
Will we take it out ourselves?
Well, I would never tell you or anybody else what our options are. See, that's another thing. People keep asking.
It's a legitimate question.
It's a very fair question. People ask boots on the ground, no boots on the ground, 4 weeks, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, go in. President Trump knows, I know, you don't tell the enemy, you don't tell the press, you don't tell anybody what your limits would be on an operation. We're willing to go as far as we need to in order to be successful.
Do we have any overt or covert forces inside Iran now?
I wouldn't tell you that if we did.
Only reason I ask is earlier this week you said no. Is that still the answer?
Yeah, that's still the answer, but we reserve the right. We would be completely unwise if we did not reserve the right to take any particular option, whether it included boots on the ground or no boots on the ground.
That's so funny. He's like, I wouldn't tell you yes or no. Like, well, you said no yesterday. And he's like, okay, then no. Okay, then right. Yeah, right. Then no, we're still. I don't think this is Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump holding their cards close to their chest and not giving the enemy insight into what they're. I don't think they know. I don't think they have any idea what they're doing. They're keeping their options over because they're flailing and have no idea what to do next. That's just the impression I get for good reason. This is a list of just 28 civilian sites in Iran that were hit by American and Israeli strikes over the weekend. In terms of schools and parks, they hit a primary school in Manab, another one there in a sports hall in Fars province, Namek school, Tehran, two were killed, an elementary school in Tehran, a children's park in Tehran, a middle school in Parinid, another elementary school in Parinid. We also destroyed these hospitals and medical facilities, the Gandhi Hospital, hospitals near the Red Crescent building, Abuzar Hospital, emergency centers, Sarab and Hamadan, at least two wounded, Bekel Hospital, a neonatal care center. Oh, a neonatal care center. That's for, you know, premature babies, newborns, infants. So, you know, bomb them, obviously. You also want to bomb the Heart Hospital and another hospital in Minab. They've also bombed multiple residential areas in Tehran, as well as other major countries, as well as historical and cultural sites, such as the Golestan Palace, the Tehran Grand Bazaar, the Bath Stadium, and the Azadi Sports Complex in Tehran. See, what this says to me is that we're losing the war. We're the bad guys, by the way. See, this isn't Hamas, where they're in Gaza in 25 square miles, and you can actually make the argument that, well, there's, you know, Hamas under every building. It was ridiculous back then when they were making it. It's just way more ridiculous now when you have Iran, a country this almost two times the size of Texas, that has gigantic military installations out in the middle of nowhere that are obviously still operational. If you haven't destroyed those yet, if the missiles are still being launched from Iran and landing in Israel, why are you bombing hospitals and schools? Why are you bombing elementary schools and parks? Because this is a war of terror. This is a war of just abject murder on all of the Iranian civilians. That's what it seems like to me. This doesn't seem like a sophisticated operation to systematically dismantle Iranian leadership to bring them to their knees. This sounds like something that will A, massively increase support for the Iranian government amongst their own people, B, massively denigrate and diminish support for America and Israel worldwide when they see what we've been doing. Three, is strategically retarded because we're not actually degrading any of their capabilities. We're just empowering their vengeance. Is this smart? Is this strategic? Is this just retarded flailing, or is this strategic collapse? These are the only options, but it's ridiculous. And the story's from MideastEye.net. Schools, hospitals, playgrounds, Iranian civilian sites hit by U.S.-Israeli strikes. And I could go on and on about that, but I really got to tear through this. Because, by the way, I'm going to be joined by some amazing guests later in the show. I haven't even told you about because I've been too excited to talk about this war. But we're going to be joined by Pastor Jonathan Shelley, and we're going to talk about the mistakes that the end-time evangelical Israeli extremists think is, you know, justifying this apocalyptic war. We'll also be joined by Kelsey Sheeran in the third hour. We're going to be talking about mostly about MAID and the suicide program of Canada, both for their people and as a nation as a whole. I'm very excited to talk about them. So I need to get through as much Iranian stuff in this first hour as possible while not touching too much on the apocalyptic death cult aspect of it. But we'll get to that in the second hour. From Washington Post, Israeli defense officials start to ask how the war will end. Oh, you've thought about that, have you? Maybe you do that before you start the war, but hey, better late than never, right? A few senior officials in Israel are starting to voice concern about the escalating open-ended attack on Iran and suggesting possible exit ramps that might halt the war before it damages the region and the global economy. Here's the problem. Iran controls those exit ramps, and they have the gates firmly closed. So you started this. This is your fault. And suffer the consequences. Trump has wavered among several conceptions of the outcome. He spoke at first about a negotiated settlement with pliable members of the regime, but has since demanded surrender because he said his preferred negotiation partners are dead. Like Trump, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu said he wants to press on to what he described Saturday as, quote, the moment of truth. The disdain for negotiations expressed by Trump and Netanyahu may deepen after Sunday's announcement that Iran's new supreme leader will be Mojtaba Khamenei, the son of the previous head of state who was killed in a massive airstrike in his compound on February 28th. The new leader is a hardliner who, if anything, is even closer to the Revolutionary Guard Corps than his father was. He's not a man for the bargaining table. Meanwhile, Trump says, "I have a plan for everything." President Trump told the Post he has a plan to tackle surging oil prices caused by the war with Iran after the cost per barrel briefly neared $120, 65% higher than the pre-war price before settling above $100 Monday morning. Quote, "I have a plan for everything, okay?" Trump said in a brief phone interview on the 10th day of the joint U.S.-Israeli war with Iran. "I have a plan for everything. You'll be very happy." I don't think you do. I don't think he does. I'm just going to say that outright because I don't believe him. I don't believe him, and I don't think he does have a plan. And I think you can tell this by not only the messaging out of the, you know, establishment media, but the change in messaging. It's not just what they're saying now. It's the fact that what they're saying now is entirely different than what they were saying a week ago. So this went from, we're going to crush them, we're going to destroy them, it's going to be no problem at all, to, you know, we prepared for this. Just maybe it's going to be a bit of a slog, but we're ready for that and we're prepared for that. And actually, it's going better than we even thought. We're ahead of schedule. Now they're saying something different entirely. Now the messaging has changed to allow for admission that things aren't going so well. But they have a clever phrase to couch this in. They have a clever little rhetorical trick to try to ease the realization that Americans are coming to that this thing is not in control and is actually flying off the handle. Let's go to clip 52 here. U.S. officials spotted all across the media laying out the new scripted catchphrase meant to lull you into accepting that even though things are going badly and worse than they said previously, that's fine. And they want that to happen too. So they're in charge and in control, and don't question them. Let's watch.
This is a short-term disruption for the long-term gain.
Short-term pain for the long-term gain.
Short-term pain be for long-term gain.
We're going to have some short-term pain with long-term gain.
Short-term pay for a long-term gain.
Some short-term pain, yes, but we've got some long-term gain.
Short-term spike for a long-term gain.
Some short-term pain for American consumers.
We may have to deal with that in the short term.
Short-term and temporary.
Temporary short-term pain.
It's going to suck in the short term.
Some short-term pain.
Short-term pain.
We have to focus on the short-term.
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 Short-term and long-term.
Short-term.
Hopefully this is a short-term pain.
Short-term is highly outweighed of the long-term benefits.
Some short-term pain for the long-term gain.
Short-term sacrifice for a long-term gain.
Well, I'm convinced. I mean, you tell me something 20 times in a row, I just think it's true. I'm a robot like that. It's funny that you didn't say there would be any short-term pain. Do you know why they're calling it short-term pain? It's because it hasn't been that long, right? They can use this phrase for, like, I'd give it a shelf life about 2 weeks. If you're still using the term short-term pain for long-term gain after 2 weeks, you need to come up with a new phrase. They have 2 weeks to come up with a new phrase that says something like long-term pain for even longer-term gain. You know, they'll have to be more clever than that, but that'll be the meaning of it. It'll be, this has become a war for our existence. They are absolutely scrambling, is really just, that's it. At the end of the day, that's what's happening. They are completely flailing. They have no idea what comes next. And they're trying to sell this to the American people in the most outrageous way possible. Let's go to clip 53 now. Here's U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham talking about the long-term gain that we stand to win. Let's watch.
All of this money is to make sure they never go nuclear, they can't hit us with ballistic missiles, and they stop terrorizing the region. When this regime goes down, we're going to have a new Mideast. We're going to make a ton of money. Nobody will threaten the Straits of Hormuz again.
Wow, amazing. We're going to make so much money, guys. I mean, not us, not the American people. I mean, we're still going to be flooded with a bunch of refugees. I'm still going to have homeless encampments catching fire on the corner where I live. My elementary school is still going to be filled with so many Afghan refugees that they teach classes in Pashtun, so the American kids can't understand it. See, there's going to be no benefits for us. There has never even been suggested that there would be benefits coming to the American people. We will be spending the money. We will be spending our lives. We will be using our power, our influence, our resources. All of the gain is going to go to Israel and to Lindsey Graham and his friends at the very top of our society. Absolutely nothing is being done for the American people. And if they even wanted to pretend to have concern about the American people, then they would be helping us, not starting a war in Iran, which is going to inevitably, and already has to a certain degree, driven up all of the prices for everything. Like, every time you go to fill up your car, just remember, you're paying for Iranian war. It's like, you know, even people that are for the war, just ask them, like, okay, well, then give me $500 to wage it. Most people will be like, no, I'm not giving you $500. Well, yeah, you are, actually. Actually, you are going to be paying for this with every item you buy and every tank of gas you fill up and every, you know, doctor's appointment you have to miss because you don't have insurance and we don't have health care because Israel does and we have to support them. No reason to panic over Iran oil price surge. I have a plan for everything. Okay, well, what is it? I don't believe you. I don't think you have a plan, actually. I think you're lying. I actually think you're lying. And guys, I want to go to clip 47, but you can cut out the question. It's Tim Dillon asking Ryan Grimm, but I just want Ryan Grimm's response. Probably starts about a minute in. If you can cue that up, I want to go to that in just a second. But this was something that Trump did not have a plan for. Israel hitting Iran's oil refineries. They hit oil refineries that feed Tehran. Thousands of labor workers burned alive. Families burned in their homes. Toxic fumes and fire rolling over a city of 9 million. 2 days ago, they hit the burn treatment center. So even if it's still open, it cannot be operating at full capacity. They bombed the airport, so families cannot even send the burned and injured out for treatment. Burning fuel is running through rain canals like rivers of fire, scorching trees, licking the walls of houses beside it, turning ordinary streets into hell. This is the real face of the United States and Israel. And yeah, apparently we had no idea they were going to bomb the oil fields, and we were pissed that they did. And you actually have Lindsey Graham, of all people, saying that this was a bad idea. This was posted by Jonathan Shannon. They're calling it the stupidest war in America history. The blast killed Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei. The reckoning, it turned out, was more complicated. The Israeli strike also killed another group of Iranian officials who had been meeting in a different part of the compound. Among them were the people the White House had identified as more willing to negotiate than their bosses, who might bring help bring a swift end to the conflict, according to American officials. So we bombed Ayatollah Khamenei under the assumption that we'd be able to shock and awe, you know, traumatize the Iranian people in a major strike, kill their leadership, and then rebuild their government with friendly people in exactly the way that we did with Venezuela. Again, this is why I think the Venezuela program was just, you know, point by point what they were trying to run again. Only the Israelis bombed the people we were hoping to work with. So when Trump says, I have a plan, this is all under control, he's lying. He's being fed lies by the Israelis, and they're making fools of him. So he did not have a plan for this extending 48, 72 hours because he was lied to about Iran's capabilities. He did not plan on this, you know, the replacement to Ayatollah Khamenei being even more hardliner. He thought he'd have an agreement with a friendly replacement, but Israel killed that friendly replacement and the people who he was willing to work with. He didn't want this to destroy the oil industry, but Iran decided to blow up the oil processing plants outside Tehran. So Trump does not have a plan of what's going on here. He is not the one deciding things. Israel is doing things that Trump has not planned for, that he does not want them to do, and then he's having to react and respond and try to deal with the problems they're causing. This is obvious. I'm just reading what people are saying. Like, this is all mainstream media news. It's just obvious what's actually happening here. Trump is completely controlled by Israel. They are manipulating him to destroy America in a major combat with Iran, the ultimate goal of all of this being that the Middle East is shattered and destroyed except for Israel. America is driven out and also massively hampered economically because Israel used America to deal with its enemies in the Middle East. Once we have dealt with the enemies in the Middle East, they no longer need us. We are now slated for destruction. This is just obvious from the beginning, and Trump is falling for it hook, line, and sinker and helping them along the way. Let's go to this video. This is Ryan Grimm being asked by Tim Dillon about sort of Trump's ability to control this situation. Let's watch.
I think Trump has been told so many times that you can't do a certain thing, and then he has done that thing, and then it has gone fantastically for him. And I think the latest one, to Jeremy's point, was Venezuela. Everybody said, you can't just go into the country and grab the president and his wife and take them back out and not lose a single American service member, and then just say that you run the country. That you can't do that. It's not how things are done. Yet he did that, and it from his perspective, it worked out, you know, phenomenally for him. And he has said, like, I'm on a roll. Like, let's go. Let's hit Cuba.
Exactly,
like, I'm feeling
right.
Good.
Like, again, I think Venezuela was very deliberately planned as a precursor to what we're seeing in Iran now, not just to sort of bolster Iran or bolster Trump's confidence. You know, you're going to go into Iran, but also to have these arguments about, well, can Donald Trump unilaterally start a conflict if he says there's imminent threat, even though there's really not? I mean, that's what was decided during Venezuela. Well, this cocaine could kill somebody, therefore it's an imminent threat, therefore we get to use military force. This is outrageous, and this is what's led to us where we are now. Meanwhile, let me just show you, like, what we're up against. Let's go to clip 23 here. This is the Secretary of Defense for Iran. In the last interview I did on the fifth day, I said we have passed the peak and are heading downhill. Now is our downhill phase. You saw what happened just last night in Tel Aviv. Meaning, because we hit the radars and infrastructure, today, truly, Mr. Trump and Mr. Netanyahu are trapped in a slaughterhouse in the Persian Gulf. And in the coming days and weeks, much more joyful news will be delivered to the dear nation of Iran. Look, the big mistake they made was that they came and designed a short-term war, but they didn't realize this might turn into a long-term one. Even the greatest international powers, if they initially plan for a short-term war and halfway through it becomes a long-term war, no matter how much power they have, they will be defeated. Why? Because short-term wars have a specific design. They require limited logistics and limited preparations. A long-term war requires abundant logistics, extensive planning, and they have to anticipate many consequences. They thought the Islamic Republic would be finished in 48 hours. First, they brought one aircraft carrier. Then recently they said, for precaution, let's take another ship too. But now they're saying, we must bring whatever ships we have from anywhere in this world so we can handle this. He's trying not to laugh while he's saying this. Take the USS Ford that has now come towards the Mediterranean. It's currently their time for leave. There are 5,000 or 6,000 personnel saying, we need to go on leave. So again, I mean, it's just like, because during their time in Venezuela, their mission there had ended, they were told, you will go for 48 hours and come back. I mean, it's very reminiscent of Russia, where you listen to American politicians, and it's all, oh, you know, it's chest beating, and they're just a big gas station with nukes, and we can take them on, and hoorah. And you listen to the Russians, and they're like, look, this is a very serious thing we're having to deal with, And they just sound reasonable and respectable and intelligent. It's like the same thing with Iran. Our leadership is just like, you can't hear our plans because they're too secret and awesome. So don't even worry about, we're going to destroy these goat herders in Iran. That's not going to be a problem. Meanwhile, Iran is just like, look, they plan to sort of be over in 48 hours. They have no containment for, they have no ability to deal with long-term warfare. I mean, it's just... It's embarrassing. Honestly, it's embarrassing. I kept making that joke during like the height of Gaza. Is even the Israelis, like the military leadership in the Mediterranean, is just like hard-nosed, like men with beards and scars on their faces, just being like, we will deal with this in time. We will not let our people be destroyed. We will have vengeance. And then like every American leader is just like, so we have tried to talk to the Iranians, and they will not talk to us. So they're going to have to deal with us later. And it's just like, why is our leadership so gay? And now they're not gay. They're just retarded. Why is our leadership either gay or retarded? It seems like the Iranians and the Russians and everybody else, even the Chinese, they put their best people. And you can see what happens when that happens.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participated, supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAltruststore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.